from our scripture reading. And I'm going to read one verse from our scripture reading. We'll make our prayer and we'll jump into this message
here this morning. And the message is simple: trusting God enough to put Him first. Trusting God enough to put Him first. The Bible says it this way in verse 33 of Matthew 6. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Let's pray together. Lord, thank You so much for Your blessings that You've given to us. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to be able to worship You in song, to be able to worship You in our giving, and Lord, to be able to worship You in our response to Your word. We believe it is our authority for our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that You would lead us and guide us and direct us with Your word this morning. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, every new year brings new goals, it brings new hopes, it brings new changes. But nothing is going to shape your new year more than what you put first in your life. In the book, First Things First, Stephen Covey, not a Christian book, but a time management book, he says this: the key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule, but he said the key is to schedule your priorities. And so this is the important part of our life, is to determine what should be at the top, to determine our priorities. Now, Jesus gives us a life-changing principle. And I believe that the priority that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 6 ought to be at the top of every Christian's priority list. He says this: seek first the kingdom of God. A God-first life is indeed a life that is blessed by the Lord. Now, the Bible says it this way in Psalm 34, verse 10. It says, "The lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Now, of course, we're speaking here more of just physical provisions. We're speaking here of spiritual provisions. Psalm chapter 1, can we turn there? It's a great verse for the new year. Psalm chapter 1. The book of Psalms are personal, and nothing is more personal than Psalm chapter 1. And notice what the Bible says in verse 1 of Psalm 1. It tells us how we can be happy in 2026. And it says it this way: "Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." That's our priority. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That's the blessing. The priority is the Lord. It's his word. And we notice the blessing is that we would be a planted tree. Now, Matthew chapter 6 is part of what we would call the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples mainly, but there are others that are around as well. And he's speaking to a group of people who had great worries. There was economic uncertainty. There was heavy taxation. It sounds like us in Canada today. Great worries, great economic uncertainty. And through all of this uncertainty, Jesus is saying, "Hey, I'm going to send my disciples into the world to preach the gospel." And so we see that Jesus here, as he talks about worry, he's not just talking about it. He's dealing with people who had great worries, genuine concern in their life. And we notice the Lord's message here in Matthew chapter 6. First of all, he speaks in verse 24 of a hard conflict. He speaks of two masters. He says here, "You cannot serve two masters," verse 24. It's God or material security. It's the Lord or money. Jesus teaches us that worry often is divided loyalty. Someone has put it this way: when money or material things becomes your master, then worry becomes your companion. And so Jesus says, he speaks here of worry. He speaks of two masters. And then he also talks about the fact that worry reveals our heart. In verse 25 and 30, worry reveals who or what we trust. We notice the word in verse 25, the word therefore. And anytime we see the word therefore, we should ask why it's therefore. And it's therefore because he's talking about the two masters. He's talking about the loyalty of our heart. And he says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Again, we worry when we have the wrong master in our life, when our priorities are wrong. And so he says here, worry shows really a lack of faith in God's care. And so he illustrates this wonderfully. As we think about faith and God's care, Jesus illustrates it in chapter 6. He talks about the birds. He talks about the flowers. And he said God cares enough to feed them and to take care of them. And the birds and the flowers, they don't pray. They don't seek after those things. But God meets their needs. And Jesus said we are better and more valuable than the flowers and the birds because we are created in the image of God. He also teaches us that worry is pointless in verse 27. Worry doesn't accomplish anything. One man said, you know, jokingly, don't tell me that worry doesn't accomplish anything. He says, most of the things I worry about never happen in my life. And that is often true. Worry doesn't change tomorrow. It just robs today of its joy. And so Jesus teaches us, he says in chapter 6, this is how the world lives their life. In verse 32, he says, this is what the Gentiles seek. He said, this is how they live. Our world chases security. According to a recent Business Insider article, it said recent surveys show many older Americans are experiencing stress and insecurity about jobs, benefits and retirement, with concerns about finances affecting their peace of mind. People are worried about tomorrow in our world today. And this isn't just an issue with America. This is also an issue with Canada. One Canadian publication reads, recent polling shows many Canadians entering the fall of 2025 with heightened worries over cost of living, housing affordability, access to health care and future security, illustrating how everyday survival concerns dominate people's thoughts. This is how our world thinks today. This is what Jesus said. He said, this is how the Gentiles live their life every day. And so what is the turning point? How are we different than the world? Well, we notice what the Bible says in verse 33. The turning point in our life is putting God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And this really is the heart of the entire passage. Seek first the kingdom of God. This, my friend, is not a suggestion by Jesus. This is a solution for our life. Jesus is saying, if you will put me first in your life, I will handle what you fear the most. And we notice the peace of trust in verse 34. He says, take no thought for the morrow. You know, God doesn't promise a 2026 without problems. But he does promise a 2026 with daily grace and guidance and provisions in our life. And I think it's correct to say, as we look at our text here this morning, that who and what you put first is going to dictate how you live your life, how you raise your family, the direction of your life. And so I want us to build it out this morning from our text. If you're taking notes, can we notice, first of all, the priority of seeking God? The priority of seeking God. And verse 33, it's simple. It says, seek ye first. Now, I think we have to add emphasis to the word seek there. The Greek word that Jesus uses means to actively look for, to chase after, or to pursue with effort. It means to go after. Jesus is saying here that we must make this a priority in our lives. He's saying we need to arrange our life around this one pursuit, is what Jesus is saying. Arrange your life around this one pursuit. The reality is seeking God is intentional. It is intentional. The word seek is a verb. It's an action word. For the most part, nothing good spiritually happens accidentally. Now, I'm sure that there are cases in the life of a Christian that we are put in the right place at the right time and decisions are made. And of course, we know that there are no accidents with God. But I wanted to remind you this morning that for the most part, our spiritual life is a series of decisions that we make. We don't drift into godliness, we drift into ungodliness. And the Bible tells us that we are to seek. It's intentional. A God-first life is built on purposeful pursuits, decisions that we make in our life. You know, I think of the life of Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah was not a prophet. And Nehemiah was not a priest. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He was a government employee with a comfortable life. But when he heard of Jerusalem's walls that were broken, and the Bible says his heart was stirred. The Bible says in Nehemiah 1 verse 4, it says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept. And I mourned certain days, and I fasted, and I prayed before the God of heaven." You know, Nehemiah didn't just feel bad. Nehemiah sought God. The Bible says he prayed. The Bible says he fasted. The Bible says he waited. The Bible says he planned. This is purposeful pursuit. Someone has said this: Nehemiah didn't wake up one day and accidentally rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. No, he prayed, he fasted, he planned, he trusted God, proving that God first life is built on purposeful pursuits. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." Notice the purposeful pursuit in this passage of Scripture. And so I ask you the question: will you search with all of your heart for God in 2026? Will you trust Him with your family? Will you trust Him in your finances? Will you make a decision to make God a priority in your life? Secondly, I want us to notice that God must be first and not just an addition to our life. You know, I think many people, if we were honest, many people treat God like a spare tire. A spare tire sits in our trunk. It's out of sight. It's out of mind. It's used only when there's a flat. And as long as the car is rolling smoothly, you know, when money is steady, when health is good, when family is fine, you know, God kind of stays in the trunk of our life. And that's kind of how we live our life each day. But when a crisis hits, when a diagnosis comes, or when a job is lost, or when broken relationships arise, suddenly people take God out of the trunk and they cry out to God. But here's the problem with this. You know, a spare tire can get you moving again, but it's never meant to carry the car. God never intended to be an emergency backup in your life. No, He wants to be the driver of your life. He wants to be first. He wants to have priority. And the Bible in our text doesn't say, "Seek God after problems." It doesn't say, "Seek God." It doesn't say, "Seek God when you have the time." It doesn't say, "Hey, seek God when it's convenient for you." No, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Put God first. Whether things are good, whether things are bad, the priority is God first. You know, it's easy to have misplaced priorities. People put their job before Jesus. They put money before faith. They put family before obedience. They put hobbies before church. They put comfort before commitment. And yet the Bible teaches us that anything that becomes more important in our life than God becomes an idol. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, John says this: "My little children, keep yourself from idols. Guard yourself from idols. It is easy for idols to become a part of our life." Thirdly, I believe that God deserves first place in our life. He deserves first place in our life. First of all, we know that He created us. You know, we are not accidents. We're not random. We are not self-made. God formed us with purpose and design. Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." God made us. He created us, and God sustains us. God didn't just start our life. He keeps it going. The Bible says, by him all things consist. Every heartbeat, every breath, every moment of strength, it all comes from God in our life. And so he saves us. God didn't just give us life. He wants to give us eternal life. He wants to give us abundant life. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And friend, let me tell you this. He owns us as Christians. We belong to him. We belong to God twice, by creation and by redemption. Paul put it this way: "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price," the Bible says. Therefore, Paul writes, "Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, a Christian cannot say, "Well, it's my body, it's my choice." No, a Christian says, "No, it's God's body. I belong to God, and I'm to glorify God in my body and in my spirit." And so God deserves priority because he saves us and he owns us. But can I say this? He loves us. God doesn't rule us like a tyrant. He loves us like a father. And he guides us and he directs us. 1 John 4, verse 19 says it this way: "We love him because he first loved us. And now we must first love him." We must put him as a priority in our life. His love is unconditional. It's unending. It's unchanging. This is the priority of seeking God. And the Bible tells us to seek him first. Secondly, can we notice the pursuit of God's kingdom? The pursuit of God's kingdom in verse 33, it says this: "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Now, Jesus is teaching us here the pursuit of his kingdom. Matthew 6 is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, and this is what we call kingdom language. It's we could say this: this is Jesus' kingdom constitution in Matthew chapter 6. And the principle, the practical teaching is that when Jesus is king of our hearts, when we allow him to reign in our life, then this is the fruit of that loyalty in Christ reigning in our heart. And we notice it in through the book of Matthew 6. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who know they need God. Blessed are they that mourn over their sin. Blessed are the meek, the gentle, and the surrendered. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart." Why? They'll see God. This is the happiness when Christ is reigning in our life. And so Matthew chapter 5, this is the influence of the kingdom. The Bible says we're salt and we're light in the world. And so Jesus here is teaching as a king. And as he teaches as a king, we notice the authority he has as a king. The Bible says in Matthew 7 that they were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one with authority, because he's speaking kingdom language here. And he spoke with authority. And we notice this message here of seeking the kingdom of God. What does it mean for us? Well, first of all, it means his reign in your life. The kingdom of God is not a place. It's God's rule in your heart. And so the question you have to ask yourself as we get to Matthew 6 is, who is ruling your life? Who's ruling your schedules? Who's shaping your choices? Honestly, who's guiding your home? Is it King Jesus? Is it King Jesus? And so we notice his reign in your life, but also we notice God's kingdom. It changes our priorities. When Jesus is first place in our life, our priorities change. We put first his kingdom, and we put first his righteousness. And we see in this passage of Scripture that when we do that, there's a change in priorities. But I want to remind you, it's not a one and done. It's not just putting Jesus first in your life today. No, it's not a forget it and, you know, a set it and forget it kind. The word seek there is the present imperative form, and it indicates a continual, constant seeking. When Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, he means keep on seeking first the kingdom of God. Because it's easy, you know, it's easy for things to come into our life, to crowd out the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. Can we turn there? Colossians chapter 3. And notice what the Bible says. Colossians 3 and verse number 1. Colossians 3 verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He writes here, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Again, the thought there is a continual setting. It's a continual seeking. Daily is the thought here. You know, people and things are trying to get first place in your life. And did you know that the devil wants you to be so busy you don't have time for God? Listen, the devil doesn't even care if you are, if he is first place. He knows that if anything other than God is first place, then we're going to make a mess of our life. And he wants us to be distracted, and he wants us to be distant, and he wants us to be deceived. And we can even fill our life up with good things, but good doesn't replace great. The threat is always there. The Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God. And these kingdom priorities show up in our daily habits in our life. Throughout 2026, they'll show up in our time. God must get the first part of our day. We must seek him first in our life and in our day. Our finances, God must get the first fruits, and our family, our home must revolve around Christ, and choices that we make, Christ must determine through the wisdom of his word if it's a yes or if it's a no. And I want to remind you that a Christian home, therefore, can be defined more than just having Christians present in the home, but a Christian home is a home that is living under the rule of King Jesus. It's a Christian home. Christ is first in our life. Thirdly, can I notice the practice of God's kingdom? In verse number 33, the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, what does it mean for us practically? Well, it means it's a life that honors the Lord. It's a life that is doing what is right, thinking right. It is a life that is speaking right. It is a life that desires what God desires. Someone has said it this way, holiness is Christ in my heart, seen in my life. Holiness is Christ in my heart, seen in my life. And so I'm going to pursue not the material, not the temporal, Jesus said, but no, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to pursue over anything else. I'm going to pursue his righteousness, a godly life. Can we go to 1 Timothy chapter 6? I want us to see this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I could have used this as my text. 1 Timothy chapter 6. It follows along so wonderfully with what Jesus is teaching in Matthew 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. Notice what the Bible says. It says, but they, verse 9, but they that will be rich. This is the pursuit of riches. This is the pursuit of riches. This is when someone gives their life, their pursuits, for material things. The Bible says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. We could say this, that what Paul is talking about is when someone puts the pursuit of the material ahead of God. And the Bible says that they will drown themselves in destruction and perdition. It says, for the love of money, Making it your master is the key there. Not money itself. Money is indifferent. Money is neither good or bad. It's just money. It's the love of money. It's making it our master in our life. That's the problem. And the Bible says it's the root of all evil, from the love of money, making material possessions the god of your life. Flow all of the various evils of the heart. And the Bible says that some have coveted after, have chased after, and they have even erred from the faith, and they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 11, but thou, you're a Christian, you're going to have a different pursuit. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Look at this. And follow after. The word follow there means to pursue. Follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. Would this be your pursuit for 2026? I guarantee this, and I say this by faith. If this would be your pursuit in 2026, you, my friend, will have a happy new year. You truly will. I'm not saying there's not going to be any problems. I'm not saying there's not going to be any difficulties. But I am saying this. If you make the kingdom of God and His righteousness your pursuit, if you make godliness or godlikeness and faith and love and patience or endurance and meekness, humility, then you will have a happy year as God is at the top of your life. Pursue being a godly spouse. Pursue being a godly parent. Pursue being a loving husband or a loving wife. Pursue God's righteousness, the priority of seeking God, the pursuit of His kingdom, the practice of God's righteousness. But fourthly, and I'll be done, the promise of God's provision. Look what the Bible says in verse 33. And all of these things will be added unto you. Don't seek those material things, Jesus says. Don't make them a pursuit. Don't worry about these things. No, He says, seek God first. Seek a godly life. And we notice the trust in this. Why is this a message on trust? It's because it's trusting God enough to put Him first in your life. And believing what He says in verse 33. You see, God meets the needs of those who put Him first. The Bible says they'll be added. You know, the word there, added, means to be put to your account. God's going to deposit in your life. These things that you worry about so much, God says, I'll take care of them. Do you believe that today? Can you rest in that today? Are you willing to put it to the test? When I make God the priority, He takes care of the other priorities. Now, the context is food and clothing, the daily bread and the provisions of my life. When I seek Him first, all the other pursuits of my life, God will take care of it. This is the trust. Now, listen to me. I'm not saying that all of our expectations will be met. I'm not saying your life will end up the way that you think that it should be. No, I'm not saying that. This is not a prosperity message. This is a trusting message. God says, I'll take care of it. I'll lead you. I'll bring you to where you need to be. And so worry leaves when God is first. Again, the context of our message is worry. What will I eat? What will I wear? How will I survive? Jesus said, if you pursue me, I will take care of those needs. That's a blessing. It's a blessing. And I want to remind you, it's a great promise. When we trust Him enough to put Him first in our life and in our home and in our family, the Bible says that worries will vanish. The world will grow strangely dim when we turn our eyes upon Jesus. Thirdly, God gives more than we ever expect. Now again, this is not just about material provisions. This is about meaningful provisions. This is more than just about money. This is about godliness. This is about God being seen in our life. And we see it in the Bible as the Bible uses the words abound and the Bible uses the words overflowing and exceed. God gives to us more than just money in a bank account. He gives us peace and He gives us wisdom and He gives us strength and He gives us hope and He gives us help. It has been said you cannot outgive God. And as you put Him first in your life, He proves Himself faithful over and over and over and over and over again. And so here's the question as we close this message. Who or what has been first in your life in 2025? This is a question that only you can answer. This is a question that only you honestly can evaluate. Who has ruled your heart? The Bible says in Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And I say to you, and I encourage you, church family, would you trust in Him in 2026? And it begins today. It begins in the decisions that we make this morning. Will we trust Him enough to seek Him with all of our heart? Will we trust Him enough to put Him first in our life? It's a call to put God back where He belongs. And friend, He belongs first. He belongs first. I think some of us have been trying to live with two masters. We try to love God, but we're trying to trust in other things. And we pray, but let's be honest, we worry. And we believe, but we hold tightly to that control. And Jesus is lovingly telling us today through His word. He's saying, you don't have to live this way. Would you put me first? Would you put me first? And I pray today that you will trust Him enough to put Him where He belongs. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You so much for Your word. And we're grateful for the opportunity that we have today.